All right, everybody. Welcome to Tuesday, March 26th. I'm John Weigel here with Rob Litterst, and this is the Hustle Daily Show. Apparently, the best time to find a shipwreck is right now. Given technological advancements in a bunch of intrigued companies and millionaires, we've entered a new age of undersea exploration. But before you start swashbuckling out there, how exactly is it so easy now to find these shipwrecks? Who is investing in this? And is buried treasure still a thing? We'll get into that in a bit, but first let's give you the hits and headlines today in business and tech. Starting us off here, Spotify is experimenting with online learning. The company is trialing video courses on desktop and mobile for UK users across four categories, which are make music, self-explanatory, get creative, learn business, and healthy living. All very interesting categories to offer on Spotify. Rob, what do you make of this learning curve, I guess?
Yeah, super interesting. I mean, I think they've just been kind of, in general, expanding beyond music for the last few years. And I know a ton of people who listen to podcasts on Spotify. I know they launched an audiobook section within the tool as well. And it feels like video courses is kind of the next step from that. The thing that's super interesting to me is the idea that this is going to be available on desktop. And I would actually think this is something that a lot of people will use their desktop for. Like, it feels like the first Spotify offering that could be kind of desktop first rather than mobile first. Mm-hmm. At least if I'm doing a video course, I'm most likely going to be doing it on my desktop rather than just on my phone. So that is a very curious development from my perspective. The categories do seem pretty on brand, especially make music and get creative. Learn business and healthy living is kind of interesting, but
yeah,
very exciting new development.
Yeah, all very good markets for all of these topics. You know, this is something that I'm shocked is an announcement, and I thought they were doing something like this originally already. With the amount of podcasts that are just available there, you can probably learn to do a slew of these things, but I guess this is them formally introducing this program, which is very interesting, and I feel like I'll definitely try it out, give it a spin.
Yeah, it does seem like these categories ladder up pretty well to some of the biggest podcasts and most popular podcasts. So I could totally see there being some cool cross-promotion opportunities there.
Definitely. Like a masterclass type thing would be fun.
Exactly.
Next up, Boeing CEO David Calhoun is stepping down at the end of 2024. The airline's chairman of the board will also step down, and its commercial airline unit CEO is out amid ongoing scrutiny over quality and safety concerns. So, trying time for Boeing right now. And moving on to Nissan. Nissan announced plans to cut production costs while expanding its EV offerings with 30 new car models. 16 of them are EVs. Over the next 3 years, with a goal of 34 new EVs between 2024 and 2030, making up 60% of its product offerings by 2030. Now, Rob, I know you're a big EV guy and we're always talking about it. What do you think about this?
I wish I could say that I'm a bigger EV guy. I don't actually own an EV, but I really respect it. I think maybe Nissan's big push here could be a reason that I do end up buying an EV at some point. I think a big barrier for EVs still is that they tend to be more expensive than traditional models.
Right.
This is a cool idea and I think pivot for Nissan. They have always kind of struck me as like the third or even fourth car manufacturer out of Japan behind Toyota, Honda, can even throw Mazda in there. Mm-hmm. So this is an interesting angle for them. And I think one that could be really lucrative and it's on brand. They've been pushing towards EV for a long time. I think the Nissan Leaf was one of the first electric cars and they've really invested there. So it's very cool to see that they're continuing to push in that direction.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, two of the biggest pain points, you kind of mentioned one up top, but the biggest pain points with EVs right now are the price and also the availability of charging stations if you live in a more remote area.
Totally.
It's really tough, even in New York City. I can't really name you any charging stations that I know around me. But as that increases, hopefully by 2030, by the time that 60% of their entire offering is EVs, I'm hoping that there will be a ton more by then.
Oh, for sure.
All right, on to TikTok. TikTok said its new youth council, consisting of 15 teens from around the world, has begun consulting on media literacy campaigns and privacy and safety issues. I will need a documentary on this immediately. And finally, NASA wants volunteers to use its SunSketcher app to capture the upcoming eclipse for research on how solar gravity affects planets. Rob, are you catching this eclipse wherever you are?
This is super cool. I am definitely going to try to. I've heard that Austin is actually a hotspot for this and that they've been more or less kind of like planning to like really shut down the city because they already have so many anticipated people coming to visit.
Wow.
I think they're just like right in line with it and they're going to have like a really good view. But this is super cool. I would love to help out NASA and think I'll be checking out my app store to download Sunsketcher here in the coming week before this eclipse actually happens.
Yeah, we're going to see kind of a big migration out west, I feel like, a little bit. I met a few friends this past week. A few are actually going to Vermont to catch this.
Nice.
But a lot of them are going over to like Ohio and kind of the Midwest to check it out. So there's going to be kind of a big tourism rally from this.
Nice.
Yeah. All right, on to the main story today. The depths of the ocean contain countless shipwrecks and ruins. If you're interested in looking into any of that, the good news is that technology and tons of wealth has made it easier than ever to find these dilapidated remains that you love. So, Rob, why is now the best time for us to try to find Davy Jones's locker?
Well, it's super funny because I think that this is particularly relevant to anybody whose dream job has been archaeologist, marine biologist, or pirate. It's a really good time to want to be any of those things. And honestly, I think at the center of why it's such a good time for this is really technology. Three reasons right off the bat. Autonomous underwater vehicles can cover large sections of the ocean floor and travel to locations that were previously inaccessible, like 25 miles below an ice sheet, which just sounds so scary. I can't imagine actually doing that.
Yeesh.
Satellites can now spot shipwrecks from space by the plumes of sediment that surround a wreck. And so we have this satellite technology that makes it way, way easier to actually identify these wrecks. And then lastly, there's a digitization of historical archives and increased accessibility of telepresence systems, which stream images of the ocean floor on the internet and ultimately let people discover more wrecks from the comfort of their own homes.
Okay, so a lot of things working in favor of people looking for these wrecks, especially it seems like the last one, kind of a Google Earth situation,
right.
But under Earth, allowing people to scope out under the sea. Are there any other reasons that it's become easier that are apart from technology?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the biggest reasons is actually climate change. There are a few kind of implications of climate change that have made it easier to see shipwrecks. Rising sea levels, eroding shorelines, more powerful storms, they're all increasingly washing shipwrecks ashore, and I think bringing more visibility to shipwrecks than we've ever had before. So kind of an unfortunate reason that we're starting to see more shipwrecks there as well.
Yeah, it seems like the shipwrecks are being brought to us in some cases.
Right.
Now, can you talk to me a little bit about what private companies are doing in this space? A lot of technology has come, climate change is happening, it's easier for us to look at these wrecks, it's easier for us to analyze these wrecks, but what are some companies looking to expand on this?
There's a lot going on out here. There are a lot of kind of like macro factors that are making it easier to spot shipwrecks, but there are also more people than ever that are interested in this and looking for them ultimately. So there are private companies and research groups that are all exploring the ocean floor to map the world's seabed, while others are surveying for oil and gas leases, pipelines, or cable. So all sorts of kind of commercial reasons to be down on the ocean floor and looking for things. Some of the big names in tech and business that have kind of invested here are the Schmidt Ocean Institute, which is a nonprofit research organization founded by former Google CEO Eric Schmidt and his wife Wendy Schmidt. And then there's Ray Dalio, the billionaire hedge fund investor who founded ocean exploratory company Ocean X with his son. There's also, of course, those who are not experts, but those who just really want to check out the bottom of the ocean and have this kind of internal pull towards extreme tourism. The OceanGate sub would be an example of this, and obviously a tragic end there. So you need to be very careful if you're going to be digging, of course, with the pressures down under the ocean that deep.
Yeah, of course. And anybody that's looking to get to a shipwreck or anybody looking to explore the depths of the ocean, you got to imagine some of them would go with the idea that they're going to find some treasure. I know it sounds crazy, but you know, there is that mentality that some people have that they're going to be able to go down there and find something. What happens when people find things under the ocean? Do you know?
Well, it's really funny because it seems like finding shipwrecks has become more about studying history and finding artifacts and less about stealing buried treasure. A really interesting implication of finding buried treasure is those that ultimately do find riches ultimately often end up in legal disputes with nations, and they very rarely win. Huh. It's the sort of thing where it's almost this kind of bait and switch that gets people looking for this treasure, and then they don't even actually get to reap their rewards. England is one example. They're not taking any chance with its treasure. They're testing out new forensic marking technology to protect 57 of its shipwrecks from thieves.
Wow.
So kind of playing the defensive, England getting out there first and making sure nobody messes with any of their historical riches.
And it's probably thanks to all these advancements in technology that England is able to find these shipwrecks now.
Totally.
Since they're so available, it seems. Yeah, it makes sense to try to guard them and try to preserve them for what they are.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. So Rob, are we going to go find some ships underwater soon?
I think so. I think that's actually what we should do for next week's show.
Yeah, great.
Yeah.
Great. It'll be an underwater pod.
Perfect.
This is all just information to prep us. So thank you so much. All right. And that'll do it for us today. We're a proud part of the HubSpot Podcast Network. Our editor today is Robert Hartwig, and our executive producer is Darren Clark. We've got a lot more tech and business coverage in our newsletter. If you're not subscribed, go get yourself signed up at thehustle.co/email, and we'll see you tomorrow.